Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Curiosity Daily from Discovery, the best place to get smarter in just a few minutes. I'm Nate.
Welcome back, y'all. I'm Callie. We're so excited to have you here with us.
Today, you'll learn about the potential positive power of gossip, how climate change is making zooplankton in Lake Erie confused, and a surprising connection between new school buses and student performance in school.
Let's have some fun with this.
According to a new study, we all might do better if we hung out with more blabbermouths.
Blabbermouths, is that a scientific term?
Call them what you will. This was a pretty cool little tell-all study on the positive power of gossip.
Okay. If I recall, there have been a couple of studies on gossip lately, and it mostly paints gossip as a potentially good thing, right?
So, mostly. But here's the thing. An earlier study found that humans spend about an hour every day talking about other people. In other words, we spend a relatively huge portion of our lives talking about people basically behind their backs.
Yeah, I'll be honest, that doesn't sound super positive.
But the negative connotations and the sheer amount of our time we spend doing it is what led researchers from both Stanford and the University of Maryland to conduct this study. And this study was done a little differently.
How so?
So previous studies have tended to look at how gossip bonds groups of people, how it fosters collaboration, all that big picture social stuff. But there's not much data explaining what a single person who gossips a lot can hope to gain by doing so. In other words, what was the evolutionary advantage of gossiping?
I think I see what you're getting at. If we spend so much time talking about people who aren't there at the time, then there must be some kind of advantage.
Exactly. And by all accounts, gossiping is universal in us humans. So this study did something pretty cool. They built a computer model and used an evolutionary game theory model that simulated human decision-making processes to observe virtual busybodies' interactions.
Okay, that's cool. It's like climate simulation, but for gossip.
Exactly. They looked at how gossip spread and its impact on reputation dissemination. They also wanted to know how gossip influenced cooperative behavior and how likely people were to participate in gossip.
So these are the real nuts and bolts of gossip, who is willing to join in and how it helps build cooperation. But I'm a little confused. What do you mean by reputation dissemination?
Great question. It's like this. The study found that talking with peers about another person who isn't around helps everyone to basically get a grasp on the reputation of the person you're talking about.
Got it. And understanding someone's reputation helps the group figure out how that person fits in. So it's something like that?
Right. But it goes further than that. Because the simulation found that 90% of the simulated gossips took part in gossiping, and there was a positive effect on their own reputations and behavior. The idea is that simply knowing that gossip happens is enough for us to moderate our own behavior.
So we know that if we act like idiots, people are going to blab about it behind our backs.
Yeah, something like that. Both positive and negative gossip were found to be crucial for building and strengthening those group dynamics and helping form cooperative alliances. Gossip, despite its bad rap, plays a pretty vital role in social cohesion and cooperative behavior.
So what do we do with this information?
I blab it to a friend over coffee, I guess.
Hey, wait, are you guys going to talk about me after I leave today?
No.
The 1-2 punch of climate change and invasive species have done a real number on the ecosystems of the Great Lakes. The impacts are clear, but still hard to measure because those natural systems are just wildly complex. But a new study is focusing on one very specific, very small thing that could have rippling effects across the entire watershed. And that's zooplankton.
Yes. Zooplankton are tiny creatures that inhabit, sort of the lower end of the food chain, right?
That is both true and a total understatement. They are arguably one of the foundations of the entire global food web.
Okay, so what's the difference between plankton and zooplankton?
As always, great question. Plankton comes in all sizes and shapes. Zooplankton is a type of plankton comprised of a super diverse group of tiny creatures that basically can't fight the tide.
So they're drifters.
Exactly. They are at the mercy of the wind and of ocean currents. And the essential bit of information that is important to understand for this study is that zooplankton undergoes seasonal changes. At certain times, they increase in numbers, while in other seasons, their numbers actually dwindle.
I see. So that would have a huge impact on the things that eat zooplankton.
Yeah, it can affect algae growth, fish populations, and even lead to a shift in the strength of harmful algae blooms that pose a threat to both humans and animals. So scientists have known for a long time that climate change and invasive species have had some impact on these little guys, but the study wanted to home in and try to quantify that effect.
It's so important to be able to point to data in order to understand what's actually going wrong and maybe how to fix it.
The study was conducted by researchers from The Ohio State University and analyzed nearly three decades of plankton monitoring data from Lake Erie. What they actually found was kind of alarming. The peak presence of zooplankton now shifts by up to 3 weeks in the summer. And as you can imagine, those shifts can be really disruptive to the local freshwater food webs.
And those changes are attributed to climate change, right?
Yeah, and to the introduction of invasive species like B. longimanus, a predatory phytoplankton that probably stowed away on boats from Europe. So the shifting timeframe is bad enough in the summer, but early warming also advances the emergence of spring plankton and delays it in the fall.
In other words, it's throwing the system into sort of chaos.
Right. At this point, researchers say it's important to continue gathering data so that these incredibly complex webs can be better understood. But this study goes to show that even small creatures can have huge impacts.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
In 2012, the Environmental Protection Agency began a bus rebate program that offered funding to schools to replace older diesel buses with newer, cleaner running buses. The program took off back then and has expanded over the years. So with all these newer, cleaner buses joining the fleet, a team of researchers wanted to know, how does replacing old buses affect student test scores?
Wait a second. Why would a bus have any effect on student performance?
Honestly, I had the same question, but this is where it gets pretty interesting. So previous research has suggested that when a school district gets newer, cleaner buses, student attendance goes up.
Okay, that I can understand. If you have more reliable transportation, you're more likely to get kids to school on time. But what about academic performance?
Right. So the EPA uses a randomized funding allocation, like a lottery, basically, to see what districts get the money for new buses. And that means that all things being equal, you can look at the schools that get new buses and compare the changes in academic performance to the schools that didn't receive funding for new buses.
That makes sense. It would mean that you can sort of control from other factors, right?
Yeah. Like maybe a school that got new buses also got a huge grant for a new computer lab, for example. But looking at the random allotment of money means that you can see the averages to find trends. So the first interesting thing they found is nothing.
Wait, nothing?
Yep. Across the whole of the schools that received funding, there wasn't much of an academic bump. But in schools that replaced very old buses, there was a rather significant bump in academic performance.
So if your school had really old buses and you got new buses, you're more likely to do better academically. How is that possible?
I know, it's wild. Replacing very old dirty buses correlated to improvements in reading and language arts and math scores. And the mechanism behind this, they think it has everything to do with pollution.
Wow, I didn't imagine a dirty bus would have that kind of impact.
Cleaner buses lead to fewer absences, not only because a new bus is more likely to make it to school, but because it's also less likely to make you sick from fumes.
I would guess that would be particularly important for kids with asthma.
Absolutely. And as unlikely as the connection between new buses and academic success might seem, studies like this show that there are a lot of factors that lead to positive outcomes for our students. Sustainability, public health, and community well-being it turns out, reverberate through the halls of our schools. Let's recap what we learned today to wrap up. Gossip, often maligned as mere rumor mongering, plays a critical role in enhancing cooperation and social cohesion.
Climate change and invasive species are drastically altering the life cycle and biomass of zooplankton in Lake Erie.
Students who ride newer, cleaner buses to school not only breathe easier, but also significantly improve their academic performance. Curiosity Daily is produced by Wheelhouse DNA for Discovery. You can find our show wherever you get your podcasts, and we'd love if you could leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
Our Discovery executive producer is Dominique Vu. Our Wheelhouse DNA executive producer is Cassie Berman. This show is hosted by Callie Gate and Nate Bonham.
Our producer is Kiara Noni, and our associate producer is Kimaya Floyd. Writing is done by Sam Osterhout.
Sound design, audio engineering, and editing by Nick Carissimi.
I'm Nate Bonham.
And I'm Callie Gade. We'll see you next week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.